Please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and New York Times best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
In this lesson, we are going to be talking about relating with money. Free spirits and nerds unite. Open up your workbooks to that lesson and get ready. As you're doing that, I want to tell you an old story. I'm sure it's not true, but it's funny and it makes my point, so I'm going to use it anyway. There's a story that's told of George Bush Sr. and probably the best first lady that we've ever had, his wife Barbara. And they were campaigning their way across Texas in one of the presidential campaigns. And of course, that's their home state, so they knew everybody. And the presidential limo with the SUVs and the whole bit pulls up to a gas station because it's running out of gas. And so the gas station attendant sees all of this, and he runs outside. And of course, you and I don't get this service, but he runs outside, and he starts pumping gas because he wants to say he's pumped the gas in the presidential limo. Well, Barbara looks up and recognizes the guy, jumps out of the car, runs around the car, gives him a big hug. They stand back there, yak it up for a little while. And she gets back in the car in a few minutes, and George says, "Who was that?" And she said, "Well, that was my old boyfriend in high school." And George gets this big grin on his face, and he said, now let me get this straight. You are married to the most powerful man in the world, the president of the leading economic force in the world, the United States of America. You could have married him, and then you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant." And she said, "Oh, George, don't be silly. If I had married him, he'd be president." Proverbs 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain." Interesting. Let me introduce you to my wife, Sharon Ramsey. As you can see, I'm an excellent salesman. But Sharon and I have an agreement. She has agreed to stay married to me if I don't ask her to do public speaking. So she gets to come out here and just say hi this way and get to meet you guys. But I wanted you to see the reason for my success. Thanks. When we're dealing with money in relationships, when we're dealing with money in our personal lives, when we're dealing with money in our families, the flow of money in a family represents the value system under which that family operates. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So what you do with money screams loudly who you are. Larry Burkett used to say it's kind of the checkbook autobiography. Back in the days when we used to keep a checkbook, or if you keep it on Quicken or something, if you look at your checkbook register, where your money goes tells us what's important to you, tells you what's important to you. And men and women are different in how we process this stuff. We're different in how we process everything, and money is no exception to that statement. Gary Smalley says, "Men love to share facts. Women love to share feelings. Men connect by doing things. Guys go hunting together. We do things together. We work on the car together. We do whatever. We do things together. Women connect by talking. Guys can hang out all day. My son and I drove 2.5 hours after a football game home and didn't say a word, and we were perfectly okay with that. Women would have thought that was psychotic. We operate differently. We're perfectly okay with these differences too. Dennis Rainey, who is a Christian family counselor, marriage counselor, has a wonderful radio show. He says that women and men have a different verbal level. Men speak 30 to 50,000 words a day. Women speak somewhere from 50 to 70,000 words a day, with gusts up to 125,000. We are different. Gary Smalley says men tend to be controlling. Women tend to remain agreeable. Women would say amen. Men tend to be independent. Women tend to be interdependent. Another great thing to read if you've ever gotten married or ever thought about getting married is John Gray's book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And he talks about the differences of men and women. He says, men define ourselves by our ability to achieve results, where women, on the other hand, tend to define themselves by the quality of their relationships. And all these differences come up big time in the way we handle money and the way we interact. And so we've got to take this into consideration if we want to have financial peace. Two words that don't go together. When it comes to the emergency fund, men say it's boring. It's not sophisticated enough. I could do something better with that $10,000 or $15,000 in baby step 3, which is a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. I could invest that in a good mutual fund or something. But Dave says just to put it in a money market account and it not make much money. That's boring. It's not sophisticated enough. Women, on the other hand, say it's the most important key to our financial plan. It's the most important key to our financial plan. I need all the men in the room to stand up, please. All the men to stand up, please. Thank you, men. Now, guys, if you're married or you ever hope to be, listen to me really carefully for a minute. I don't know if you know this or not, but as we've been discussing, men and women are different. And that's a good thing. And they're different in how we look at this emergency fund thing. There are two things we're going to teach you while you go through Financial Peace University that will revolutionize your marriage if you allow it to. One of them is the emergency fund, and the other is doing a budget. And we're going to talk about both of those things tonight in the context of singles and in the context of a marriage situation. So guys, what I got to get you to understand right now is somewhere right down in here, your lady has a gland that you don't have. It's called the security gland. And if she is feeling insecure because of the money situation, that gland spasms. And it is attached to her face. So an emergency fund is actually an investment in a pretty wife. Her face relaxes because her security gland relaxes. When you have $10,000 or $15,000 in the bank and you know that you're not going to touch it, and she knows that you're not going to touch it, you don't even touch the emergency fund for emergencies. It allows her to relax in a place you don't even have. Am I right, ladies? So the message, guys, is you don't have to get it. You just got to get it. You need to do that emergency fund, and it's an investment in your marriage. Thanks, guys. Have a seat. And if you look carefully at the screen, guys, you're going to see what will happen if you do not get an emergency fund. When it comes to going shopping, men get good deals by negotiating. I can go in, I want those deals. I want to go out there and I'm just going to walk through the electronic store, the furniture store, and I'm going to kill everybody in the store until I get a good deal. I don't have to go shopping, I'm just going to drop an atom bomb on that one place. I'm going in there, I'm going to go, whew, whew, I want a deal, right? And I'm going to use all my techniques, and I'm going to get in people's face, I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to negotiate, I'm going to get a deal. We get good deals by, a lot of times, just straight old-fashioned confrontation. Where ladies tend to get good deals by hunting and hunting and hunting and hunting and hunting and hunting, and they forgot what they were looking for, but they're still hunting. You know, we went to a marriage conference a long time ago, and the guy did a really good job, and he did have one suggestion, though, that was honestly, it was just stupid. He said, if you want to have some real intimacy with your wife and really have some high quality communication, go shopping with her, guys. This is not a smart man. He is not a smart man. I mean, you think about it. I'm up here for 5 or 6 hours. It doesn't bother me a bit. My feet don't hurt. I can go all day. I've got plenty of energy. I get out of the car, walk into the mall, my feet hurt to my neck. I mean, what's up with that? I don't understand how that works, but that's how it works, isn't it? And Smalley talks about this. He says, here's how kind of how a shopping trip looks like for most people. You know, we get out of the car, and we go to this mall together, or we're going somewhere. We're going to go get something together, right? And the guy gets out of the car and says, identify the target. You know, we're going to get our handheld GPS and map out the quickest way to the store. And we're going to go straight to the store with the best deal, having searched on the web while we're on our way for efficiency. And we get in there, we get the best deal, we analyze which line is going the fastest and in the cash register. We get in line, we go through the most efficient line, we're back to the car. Let's time it, go, click. Identify the target. And the lady goes, whoa, 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 you just don't get this, do you? See, we're supposed to enjoy this process. It's not just about the task, it's the process. We have to go in every store. We have to touch everything in every store. We have to try a whole lot of it on, buy most of it, discuss the checkout girl's family problems with her as we're going out, and then tomorrow we're going to bring most of it back. So Sharon and I figured this deal out. We're not going to try to swim upstream, okay? We know that we're not going shopping together and have a good marriage. That's not going to happen. But we have figured out she's really good at hunting and hunting and hunting. She'll go through Consumer Reports. She'll search on the web and look at eBay, and she'll go find the best deal over here and the best sale over there. And then I'm really good at negotiating, so much so that when we go out, she's kind of a sweet, you know, Southern Belle little lady. She doesn't like to be embarrassed. And you know, we go in some of these stores with me with my $100 bills out, and she goes, "You embarrass me." Going, yeah, well, that's just one of the side benefits of this negotiating thing. So we just don't even try all of that. What we figured out is she hunts it down, then I go kill it. So we're going to work with these opposites thing and make it work. When it comes to financial problems, we see the difference in men and women. When we're struggling financially, if you're hurting and you're stressed out, you're behind on the bills, you know, the guys lose self-esteem. Men lose self-esteem because money represents a scorecard to men. So ladies, listen carefully. If you're in here and you're married or you're in a marriage situation and you're struggling financially, your guy does not feel like Sir Galahad right now. His sword is a little rusty. He has some moss on his armor. And the last thing he needs in the middle of that is a barking chihuahua around his ankles. My mama said, he may find one last use for that sword. Guys, you need to look at this. When you're in financial trouble, women face fear. Sharon made us change it. She said the word is terror. Because money with ladies, as we said, represents security. There's that security gland. So if you're in here and you're struggling financially, don't let the stress of those financial things take your marriage. Guys, you need to step up. She needs an extra 3 to 6 non-sexual hugs a day. Some of you guys need to look up non-sexual. This is touch that's not going anywhere. Touch for the purpose of reassurance. Touch that says, when we got married, we didn't have anything. If we go back to not having anything, that'll be okay as long as I'm with you. I don't want to lose everything, but if I do, as long as we come out of this together, we're going to be okay. Touch says that. And you need to say that out loud, guys, because she's afraid in a place you don't have at that moment. She's not weaker than you. They're actually more resilient, ladies are, in financial stress than guys are in a lot of ways. But they need that touch. They need that reassurance as a part of the program. So step up, gentlemen, in that situation. Now, the number one cause of divorce in North America today is money fights. Money is the one thing people say they argue about the most in marriage, according to a Stanley and Markman study. 7 out of 10 couples disagree about financial issues, according to an article in USA Today. 57% of divorced couples said that financial disputes were the primary reason they did not get along, according to a study done by Citibank. It's the number one thing that breaks up marriages. Hear me again. The number one thing that breaks up marriages, money problems and money fights. If it's the number one problem, then it's also what Larry Burkett used to say, it's the number one opportunity in our marriages, to take them to a better level, to take a good marriage and make it fabulous, to take one that's struggling and looks like it's not going to make it and bring it back together and let it heal. And you can do that through stuff like doing a budget, like agreeing on our spending, because when we agree on our spending, again, we're agreeing on our value system, and that is absolutely vital. See, the deal is this. When you get married, what happens is, you know, the preacher lies to us, doesn't he? He says, and now you are one. You remember that? Do you remember the first year? Yeah, your mama's ugly too. You remember the first year, right? See, so what we go down the aisle, dun, 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 right? And the preacher comes down and he says, okay, we're going to tie the knot, right? Well, when we get ready to tie that knot, the problem is stuff gets in the knot, doesn't it? And you grew up in a household where your parents spent everything they made. And she grew up in a household where they saved everything they made. And that was cute when you were dating. And it's not cute anymore. It becomes a potential destructive force. There's a knot going on right there in the money. And it's, I want to save money. I want to give money. I want a new washer and dryer. I want a bass boat. I want to go on vacation. I'm worried about retirement. Dave Ramsey said, and we get all of that in there, right? Every bit of that's in there, right? And you get this whole thing going on. But what we have discovered is this. If you will sit down together, if you will learn to work together, agree on your spending, because when you agree on your spending, again, you agree on your value system, you're agreeing on your goals, you're agreeing on your dreams, you're even agreeing on your fears. And so when you agree on all of that, what happens is the budget takes all the knots out of your marriage and you get oneness in your marriage and unity. See, what happens is, Dennis Rainey says, we get married, and one of us has a floor plan for a two-story, and that's our value system and how we're going to build a house. Another has a floor plan for a tri-level, and that's our value system and how we're going to build a house. If we don't get together and change that blueprint to where it looks like it's the same blueprint, we build a pretzel. When you agree on your value system, you will reach a level of unity in your marriage. But if that doesn't work, you can always adopt that international sign of money in marriage.